Hello, this is Bronson Fry with the Alaska Associated General Contractors Build Alaska podcast. I'm honored to be joined today by Chad Wilson. He's a commercial estimator and project manager for floor covering at Spinard Builders Supply, Curtis and Campbell Branch here in Anchorage, Alaska. How are you doing today, Chad?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Bronson.
It's good to see you. It's great to have you here. Appreciate you making the time. We actually go way back. We've known each other for a lot of years. This is a small town. We've worked together. We were neighbors for a while. And we also served together on the Construction Leadership Council, CLC, for the AGC here in Anchorage. So it's great to have you here, and we'll get to all that stuff later. But it would be nice to just hear a little about your background in the floor covering industry here in Alaska and how you got started and what got you going in the industry.
Well, Bronson, my beginning kind of came around where I came out of one profession kind of early in my 20s that wasn't quite heading any real direction, and I tried college, and for one thing, I felt like I knew too much before I knew too much, and that didn't really fly on delivering on the goods at the university. So you know, I went to my dad and I talked to him and said, "Hey, Dad, you know, I've tried this logistics thing, and you know, I don't want to be middle management, and so I'm thinking of making a career change, but I don't really know what I'm going to do because the university thing didn't pan out. What do you think I should do?" And my dad, you know, he'd been a framer, you know, during the the building boom in the 80s. And I remember going to job sites with him when I was a kid, and the smells and the sounds, and you know, I always had a lot of respect for the construction industry, and you know, so he said, you ought to look at getting into a trade. And ironically, about the same time that him and I had this conversation, because I had no idea what, you know, how that looked, or even, you know, how you got involved. A good friend of mine that I spent a lot of time at his house had a neighbor that ran his own business, and he installed residentially for a number of different dealers, flooring dealers in Anchorage and Eagle River. And he was looking for some help. He had already had a kid working for him as an apprentice, but they were looking for some additional help because he was getting a lot larger workload, and they wanted to stay on schedule. So that was kind of my introduction. I recall showing up to the job, and of course I didn't have any tools, and he said I wouldn't need any tools because he had duplicates of all the tools that I'd need for my first day, which consisted of a hammer and some tack strip cutters and a broom. These are what you're going to be using today. Mm-hmm.
And many days.
Yeah. Get used to that broom, kiddo, because that's pretty much going to be your main tool for a long time.
All right.
I remember after that first day, I'd smashed two of my fingers with a hammer.
Oh, no.
And I'd run my hand right down the tack strip cutter blade. So.
Whoa.
So I was actually going to my other job, and I recall I had duct tape on like two of my fingers, and my shirt looked like I just left a butcher's shop, you know. And I got to work at the warehouse I was working, and the guys were looking at me and they were like, "What happened?" And I knew then that nobody in their right mind would ever, ever, ever want to do this for a living. So I knew I'd have a lot of job security, and that's how I got started in the floor covering industry.
Has that turned out to be true?
I would say probably no. There's plenty of us out there that I think made those kinds of calls or liked the idea of being able to communicate in a manner that they were accustomed to communicating. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a language in the trades, and there's some camaraderie amongst the trades that you know, just like soldiers and police officers have, you know, there's a culture to it. And I think that's part of what attracted me to it when I got involved.
I think I can definitely appreciate what you're saying about the culture in the construction industry. Sounds like it's something that you knew generally you wanted to head towards, but it was a mostly happenstance that led to floor covering specifically. Is that about right?
Yeah, I would say it was completely by chance.
So once you got into the trade and healed up a little bit after that first day, how did things go from there?
So I spent a few years working on some really, really nice high-end homes for different dealers. One of them was actually SBS's Design Center.
Okay.
And, you know, I learned from the journeyman that I was working with a number of great skills. And most of all, I would say probably, you know, the work hard, truly work hard mentality, breaking a sweat, moving quickly, trying to be efficient, making sure that you're thinking about the next step that you have to do before you do it, you know, where your tools are located on the job, anticipation, things of that nature. You know, up until then, I hadn't really been tuned up on that philosophy. And you know, so much of the working world, it's not tangible, so that you're not seeing a finished product. Whereas, as a floor carver, you knew if somebody was slacking off because it wasn't getting done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I worked on residential projects with him for, I'd say, the first 3 years of my floor covering experience, and at a certain point, he started pursuing a. He was an older gentleman, and he started pursuing a change in career path. And so I knew I would have to start expanding my horizons. And I was fortunate enough that I had the opportunity to start working for someone who did a lot more commercial work. And I dabbled with some commercial work, and I really liked it. He used a full different set of tools. The production level was definitely, I would say, increased. You were introduced to a lot bigger Substack, the numbers of trades that you were working around and stuff that you were exposed to on a commercial job site was a broader spectrum. So I got to see a lot more of how the building itself went together. And mm-hmm. That was awesome, you know.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was good to meet people in different crafts. So I spent a few years working commercially before I was actually asked to go do a repair for Ron Soule at Arnell had a project going up in Fairbanks, and I was working on another project for the guy that I was working for at the time. And Ron had asked me if I would go do a repair for him. And sometime later, I'm not sure exactly how this whole thing went down, but it transpired. But he was looking for someone to work on this this ongoing BP project that him and Dave had going. And he'd reached out to me and asked me if I'd like to join the union and the Painters and Allied Trades Union and become part of the floor covering trade represented by them and work for him. And, you know, I thought, that's great. I'm going to get paid, you know, a proper wage. I'm going to get an education. I'm going to have health care and a retirement. I'll be able to actually apply for loans, you know,
sure.
And I'll be working in town because at that time, they had a pretty steady flow of work going that was, you know, it was all in town. And up until then, I'd done a lot of work out of town. So I was really kind of excited at the prospect. So I snapped that up, and that's what got me into working for different union contractors. During that time, of course, you got your ebbs and flows of the jobs, and of course the benefit of being part of the Painters and Allied Trades is that when one contractor wasn't necessarily working, I was able to, you know, get on the list and establish a reputation and get to go to work for, you know, the other floor covering contractors. And that afforded me the opportunities to go to different places and work that, you know, that were a little bit more glamorous than the places that I'd gone, you know, previously. As far as, I spent a lot of time working over in Kodiak, and which was great because I had family there, and just working on a little bit higher caliber projects, doing higher caliber finishes, and it was great. And then, of course, like I said, I had the opportunities at further education. I was sent off to Forbo School in Reno, Nevada, which is a kind of a prestigious training program for linoleum. I was also afforded the opportunity to go to multiple project management and general construction training courses in Las Vegas through the Finishing Trades Institute program at our local, and I took advantage of those opportunities, and I found that I was able to understand what was going on in the job meetings. I was able to communicate to not only the project superintendents what was going on and keep documentation properly, but I was able to communicate with the other trades in a civilized manner to get what I actually wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it proved to be invaluable to have those educational resources available to me that I wouldn't have necessarily had I been staying, I guess, in a relatively isolated field working for, you know, the smaller, I guess, handyman contractors that I got started out with.
Sure. About how old were you when you got into the trade, and then about how old were you when you started doing commercial work, and then eventually ended up doing commercial work as a union member?
So I think I was 22, somewhere around there when I started doing floor covering.
Okay.
And then somewhere around 24, 25 was, you know, I was kind of making the change over to the commercial,
right?
And I'd probably say that it was only about a year and a half while I was involved in the commercial arena that I was more or less offered the opportunity to go to work for Arnell, and
gotcha.
That kind of opened up the doors. I went on to work for Designer Carpets, which was also a really really top shelf learning opportunity for me. The journeymen that I worked with were outstanding. I learned a ton of techniques that I would have, you know, elsewhere not learned. I had a lot of mentor relationships there that helped me kind of understand, you know, how the industry itself came to be up here where it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to have those older guys, you know, showing me the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And breaking some bad habits that I'd learned as well.
Sure. I feel lucky and grateful for having been able to work with a lot of veteran drywall finishers and painters. The International Union of Painters and Allied Trades here in Alaska represents both paint and drywall as well as floor covering. So you and I crossed paths early in our career. I also worked for Arnell at the BP building doing paint and drywall I actually finished my apprenticeship working for Dave Arnell, and worked there a couple years as a journeyman. And you and I crossed paths in the BP building, I think originally. Both union members at the same time, so we'd see each other around. And for my part, I have to say that one of the biggest advantages of my experience through the working in commercial construction, which is pretty fun and kind of unique, is the educational opportunities that I've been afforded through the apprenticeship program. And It sounds like you got to go do some training even outside the States, more advanced stuff in the floor covering. Did that put you on a trajectory in your career that led to more opportunities later?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would say that, you know, with the introduction of the certifications that I got, I was able to see how people did things in other states. I was able to talk to other journeymen and other craftsmen and other guys that were doing instruction out of their locals, and learn some tips that I could pass on to other apprentices that I was working with and other journeymen for that matter. And, you know, it was fantastic. I got to go to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and go to the Armstrong, headquarters, and got to go to, Hanover, Maryland to the headquarters of the IUPAT and stay on their campus and go through certifications with Armstrong, actually, which were featured in a magazine, which was, you know, I mean, who'd ever thought that, you know, some floor guy that from Alaska to get that kind of opportunity, you know, that previously, you know, 6 or 7 years before that was, you know, dragging in rolls of carpet pad with holes in his knees. So it was, it was quite a leap and an eye opener. And so it was fun to get to climb the ladder that way. It was really cool to get to meet people that had worked on really famous buildings across the country, you know, and talk to them about how those things went and what it was like to work on a casino in Las Vegas and, you know, just things like that. It was awesome. And I don't necessarily think that I would have had those opportunities otherwise.
That's awesome. And it wasn't the only leap you've made in your career. Eventually you made the transition from working in the field to working in the office, taking a more leadership role in running a business or the business of commercial floor covering. So what has that transition been like and how did that happen?
Well, it was, you know, it was fortuitous that when a certain project had wrapped up that I was doing for Designer Carpets, I was approached by a guy that I'd talked to on numerous occasions. He's kind of, he's got a really good history in the floor covering industry up here. He's been, his name's Jim Curley, and he's done a lot of work. You know, owned one of the larger floor shops back in the 80s up here, and he's just a really great guy. A lot of people know him and like him, and I was afforded the opportunity to go out and help him actually in the field on a project in between jobs that I was working on up in Barrow. And at this point, you know, Jim was he was definitely not a field guy anymore. He was primarily running the business, but this was a small enough job that he figured, you know, I'll test this kid out and make sure he knows what he says he knows. And we went up to Barrow and we worked together and we hit it off. And so I started doing projects for him. He asked me to come in and start working, you know, he had a number of jobs and he kept me relatively busy. And when I wasn't busy, at a certain point, I recall we were coming back from a pre-bid job site visit down on the peninsula. We'd driven down there together early in the morning, and on the way back, after talking through, you know, what we thought it would take to do the job, I asked him. I said, you know, what do you think of me coming in and you know, you teach me how to put together estimates and bid these projects. And I, you know, of course we all remember things differently, but you know, at the time I remember looking at him and I remember thinking that I almost saw some relief on his face that I was trying to reach for something farther than just, you know, a transient field guy. Mm. So he said, yeah, that sounds great. And it worked out really good because so much of the work that he was doing was in rural Alaska,
right,
that there would be gaps between projects and schedules would push like they do in construction. And, you know, it gave me the opportunity to learn. It gave him the opportunity to have somebody motivating him to bid projects more aggressively. And everybody likes to teach when they've got somebody who really wants to learn. And at the time, I was a sponge. I mean, everything that he would share with me, I would soak up. And it felt good. It felt good knowing that I was working towards a different option, I guess, for the future. Because there's a shelf life. There's a shelf life to floor covering. Sure. You know, there's some guys can do it longer than others. But, you know, I did one of the many things that I got to see working in the field was unfortunately, I got to see guys that stuck around too long. And so that being said, when I had the opportunity to start, I guess, prolonging my my length in the career, I was relieved because, you know, there was still a future once the knees started hurting. And so I started bidding projects, working for Jim, and it was great. You know, I'd bid them and then I'd go out and work them. So I got to see the whole entire process. I got to see, you know, what we guessed it was going to be. And I got to see what it turned out to be. And, you know, it was awesome. It was really, really good. It was a great experience.
It's cool that you get to keep doing something you love, you know, working in an industry that you really like, but having the opportunity, like you said, to extend out your career by moving into the office and getting to make money with your mind, as it were, instead of just with your back or your
knees. Well, I was really grateful that Jim gave me that opportunity. And,
absolutely.
You know, through those conversations in his office, you know, and when we were reviewing stuff, you know, I had the opportunity to explain to him that the benefits of, you know, providing me and the other employee that I was working with, a long time work partner of mine, Matt, what the benefits would have been if he was to, you know, sign on with the union and be able to offer us, you know, the insurance and the retirement and stuff, and we could be doing this stuff, you know, and having the stability of a real job, you know, not just employees that you know weren't necessarily, because none of us were good at setting money aside. Mm-hmm. You know, until I met my wife, I that the only way that I would have been able to take care of myself, you know, was by having those supplements. So you know, we managed to convince Jim of the benefits of being part of the Painters Now and Trades, and he signed on, and we had a good run. Worked on a number of projects, did some really cool stuff, did the Kotzebue Elder Care, did the Barrow Hospital, you know, and it was really, 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 it was a good time. Of course, like many of us in our professions, the branches come, opportunities come, and we all kind of started going different directions. Of course, you always kind of got to go where you know the work is going to be at. And at a certain point, I was offered, I was actually driving all the way out to Jim's shop in Big Lake. And that was quite a commute from South Anchorage. And I'd been doing that for a couple years. And when I wasn't in the field working, and I was getting a little tired of it, and I wasn't really liking being away from home for the lengths of time I was when I was working on all these rural Alaskan projects.
Right.
The novelty had wore off.
Sure.
And so, at a certain point, I don't recall exactly how it happened, but work was slow, and, there wasn't a lot of projects bidding. But I was approached by, RBI, and I'm not really sure exactly, once again, the word of mouth had come, but they contacted me and asked if I wanted to go to have a coffee meeting with them, and so I did, and I sat down with Nails Barnett and Sean Barnett, and Brandon Nails' partner, and you know, they kind of asked me what I did for Jim Curley and the capacity and the size of projects that I'd worked on and the likes. And I had no idea at the time that I was essentially being interviewed. And of course, at a certain point, you know, those guys offered me a job, and you know, everything kind of checked the box, and I wasn't going to have to commute out to Big Lake
right.
anymore, which was a big relief for me, both from the hours on the road time, but also, you know, just the convenience factor, and mm-hmm. and you know, they were doing a lot more work, and they were doing a lot more work on a regular basis, and so I took that job opportunity, and working for those guys was definitely a crash course in productivity. Those guys, you know, they do a lot more production work. There was a lot more jobs that we were looking at. There was a lot more opportunity with contractor relationships that I hadn't had previously, and the learning curve was steep. You know, there wasn't any room for whoopses, and there was a lot of stuff that I had to learn that I hadn't learned yet, and I had to learn it quickly. Fortunately enough, Nails and I had, you know, we had formed a relationship. He was a Chugiak High School graduate, just like myself, so we had some history, knew a lot of the same people, and that blossomed into a really good working relationship, and I learned a lot about I really honed the skills that I brought over to SBS working out of RBI.
So did you go from Rainbow Builders over to Spinard Builders Supply, Curtis and Campbell then?
I did. It's a great little story there. I was more or less just kind of trying to, I'd had a little health issue that had come up, and so things were looking like a possible career path change. And at a certain point, I decided that I was going to, because I'd always known about Curtis and Campbell's branch and the Campbell family, and I'd remembered going there and picking up materials and stuff when I was working for Jim Curley, and how nice they always were. That I actually just kind of made a cold call and went in there and sat down and talked to Dale Campbell about, you know, what it was I did and my experience. I wanted more autonomy than I'd had elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like at this point I'd had done enough in the field, and I'd done enough behind the desk that I felt like it was nicer to get to hold the reins a little bit more and have a little bit more say in how the guys were getting paid out in the field, and you know, how we were bidding and managing the projects, you know, and that's where it really, that was probably the biggest motivator for me. And so I had some meetings with Dale. He introduced me to his brother Bill. You know, we sat down with the area vice president that was managing that branch of SBS, kind of talked about what my role would look like, because SBS hadn't had a subcontracting, especially not in the floor covering arena, to this scale prior to me going there. So they were more or less creating a position for me there that didn't exist before. And so that was really kind of how I got my foot in the door over there. And
so you've been the commercial estimator and project manager for floor covering at Spinard Builder Supply, Curtis and Campbell branch, ever since then, when you made that transition from RBI?
I have.
And so how has your specific job duties and goals changed since you've taken on that role?
Well, you know, Bronson, the I'd say the coolest thing about when I went over to work for SBS was that, well, first of all, you know, making friends with Bill Campbell and Dale and having those kind of guys in your life, that's just been probably one of the greatest treats of this whole Spinard Builder Supply experience. You know, I was pretty rough around the edges when I transferred into an office, and I had some growing to do there. But by the time I'd gotten into working for Curtis and Campbell, I'd realized that there was still quite a bit of edges that needed work. And you know, I had some coaching, and I had some leaders through Dale and Bill that helped me understand, you know, how I could have conversations with the contractors and make them feel more like, you know, we could do more. You know, I mean, you don't say no or it can't be done in Bill Campbell's world. That's that's not even, and it's not part of the SBS culture. It's just not. We will make it happen, and you know, when you become part of that team, it starts to rub off on you. And so there was some autonomy. I remember telling Bill about the jobs I was bidding on and watching and just watching his eyes light up, because he'd be excited. And we'd talk about the numbers, and we'd talk about, you know, what some of the other dealers were doing and how aggressively to pursue certain jobs. And you know, it is very challenging, but on the same token, I'd say the best part was getting to see in the last 5 years how much this position and this section, I guess, of work that we're doing out of that branch has grown. And of course, there's a number of reasons. I can tell you that the guys that I worked with in the field, they make me shine, because they do outstanding work. And you know, they were guys that were in the union. They're guys that I worked with. They're guys that I could trust when I went to work. I knew that they would perform. And of course, there's a certain amount of street credibility that I have with them, because we work together, you know, and that really brought some uniqueness. And I think that's kind of what attracted Bill and Dale into signing off on me to begin with, was the fact that I'd had as much time actually as an applicator, not just a guy that knew how to do spreadsheets and take out a set of prints and navigate them, but I actually knew, when I looked at the building and I looked at, you know, the project documents, I could tell you know, what it was going to take to make it happen.
That's really good that you mentioned that. I think it does help a lot to have worked in the field first, having that background hands-on, especially when you move into estimating later on in your career. Having that practical firsthand experience can be a real asset, I can imagine, especially at a trade like floor covering, where you're dealing with a lot of variables.
Well, you know, it's great when you get feedback from your clients, and one of the things that, you know, the regular clients, the guys that I do a lot of work, that they consider us, we're a team. One of the things that they talk about is the guys in the field are consistent, mm-hmm. and they're consistently good, and the numbers that come off of my desk are what it's going to cost to really do the job. There's no surprises. There's no, oh well, there's not enough prep in the job and it's going to cost this much more, or well, we didn't have that in the bid. And you know, guys that do what I do, that didn't spend the time in the field prior to doing what I do, they don't have that advantage. And so, you know, in their defense, it makes it really hard for them to estimate a project accurately and put numbers out there that include everything, because they just don't know all the moving parts.
Right.
And so, once again, it goes back to that street credibility. A lot of these generals that I do stuff with, I wear knee pads on their jobs. So they know that when I say, I think it's going to take this many hours to get this job, where it's, you know, within the parameters that it needs to be, to sell, they know that's what it's going to take.
Right. So since you've taken a leadership role there at Spinard Builders Supply, has that opened other leadership opportunities for you here in the construction community in Anchorage?
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife, she works, Josie works in communications and okay. Also educational. She taught at the university, and at the time when I first came on board, she was working for CH2M Hill.
Okay.
And she was doing a lot of training for them, and she had a friend that she worked with over there that was part of this CLC group at the AGC. And I'd always known about the AGC. I loved looking at the magazine. I used to snap it up as soon as I saw it come out and try to find what projects that I'd bid and what projects I'd actually worked on. And it was just one of those things that there was a certain amount of pride in getting to see jobs that you'd worked on getting, getting highlighted in a magazine. Mm-hmm. And so my wife encouraged me to check out this CLC group, and she told me, hey, listen, it's a good opportunity for you to network with some of these people that you're already communicating with, be it over the phone or in job meetings or via email,
sure.
And get a face to go with the name. And so, I was like, sure, I'll try it out. And, it was actually a mixer event after their fall conference, during their fall conference that I'd gone to for the CLC group, and which stands for the Construction Leadership Council.
Thank you.
And I thought, man, this is fantastic. I've met three people here that I've had correspondence with on multiple projects, and I'd never seen their face before. And I wasn't much of a social media guy at the time. So, I hadn't opened up Facebook to see who I was talking to and stuff like that via email or sitting at the meetings. And here we were in an atmosphere where it wasn't really, it wasn't pressing. We weren't having to go over a project schedule or something like that. I could actually, talk to them about me or them and get to know them. And of course, in this state,
sure.
One of the biggest things I learned from Bill Campbell is it's all about the relationships you form with your clients. And the CLC afforded me that opportunity. It opened up the doors for me to get to meet with the people that I was ultimately serving, as clients. And that was great. It was really, really, really cool to get that face time. And also, it led to opportunities to do things, for our community. And so I got involved.
That's awesome. The CLC, in my experience as well, has been a great networking opportunity where there's no stress or agenda between the parties other than working together towards a common goal related to the construction industry. And so we do have, we as in the CLC or the Construction Leadership Council here at AGC Alaska, which I'm honored to serve with you. You, of course, are the chair. I don't know if you mentioned that, but you are the chair of that and you've done a great job. And it's been nice working with you, creating these type of opportunities for folks in the construction industry here in our community who want to get together and get to know each other on a more informal basis. And it's definitely, I think, a valuable thing, especially in a community this small, to build those type of relationships. And the CLC, I agree with you, is definitely a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah, thanks, Bronson. It was good to get a chance to get to do things with you again too, and being part of this committee that we're on. We had an opportunity where we could help other people that may be in the same situations as us that we don't really know how, but we do want to get to know the people that we're working with in the industry. And you know, being in a leadership role just meant that, you know, I got to kind of see how the moving parts worked and share that with some of the people that were coming on that were new. And that's been fantastic. It's really been we've been able to create other networking events, some educational and training opportunities we've sponsored that and helped organize. We've had chances to connect the UAA Construction Management Club mm-hmm. with contractors. We did a format set up where there were speed interviews, and a number of the AGC members were allowed access to finding potential candidates to employ through that through the UAA Construction Management Club's event that we all worked together to put some time into you know, opening those doors up for those two groups to meet.
That was an outstanding work on that, and I know we'll be looking at doing some more events like that in the future. We would encourage anybody that wants more information on the Construction Leadership Council here at the AGC of Alaska to reach out to the offices. And I know, Chad, you'd be happy to give them more information.
Absolutely.
I'd be happy to chat with them myself. Yeah. Lots of folks here would be happy to help. We're always looking for more participation in these things and expanding our little sphere of influence in the CLC.
Yeah, you can get on the AGC website, the AGC of Alaska website, and under committees, the CLC is listed, and you just click on the tab, and it'll show events. And I would strongly recommend to anyone out there that's you know, trying to climb in the construction industry into you know, different growth opportunities to take a look, and if you can make it to one of our events. Just like me, I'm sure you'll find some significant value in it.
Absolutely. Well, Chad, is there anything else that you'd like to touch on or mention this afternoon before we wrap things up? Thank you again for your time and joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Bronson. It's been fun. I guess if there's anything I'd like to definitely wrap up with, it would be to thank my wife, Josie, for all the coaching and all the education and the support that she's provided me with for the last decade plus, and helping me travel down this road in this industry. So
well,
thank you, Josie.
Having known you for the last decade plus, I too would like to thank Josie for helping you and guiding you over this path. Well, have a great day, my friend. Thank you again for your time. I appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.